And it's a joy to have with us tonight Brother John Stevens. I think most of you know Brother Stevens. And he's been here a good bit, many times for us, as a matter of fact, to fill in. Be praying for our Dr. Q. He and our leader are at home sick, and then there's a few other people sick, so be praying for them as well. Brother Stevens.
There's Mary. I'm not too sure what all that means when we think of Mary. I don't want to say troublemaker. She's a blessing, isn't she? Huh? You're all a blessing to me. I thank the Lord for you and thank the Lord for what God is doing here. Sorry that the pastor is sick. Pray that he gets well and everybody is... You got a lot of sickness here, right? What kind of sickness? Colds? If you got a cold, don't shake my hand. Don't stick your tongue out at me. Do any of those things, okay? I'd appreciate it. And we're sorry we were a little late. We were here earlier. Nobody was here, which was okay. We decided to come early. And then Marilyn had to freshen up a little bit. And you women spent a great deal of time in a restroom doing that. So I finally knocked on the door, said, "We got to go. We're going to be late." And about a hour later, she came out. No, that's not true. That's not true. Marilyn is somewhere. Where is she? Okay. All right. Good to see all of you. And you are due. What's the date on your birth?
Middle of March. I don't remember the date.
Don't have a date. Okay. Well, my grandson, I'll get it right, and his wife is expecting or had the baby, and we have 6 great-grandchildren now. And so that's a blessing. And I had the call a little while ago because the baby was born a few days ago. They hadn't gotten a name yet. Penelope. That's her name. I don't even know how to spell that one. So it's going to be an interesting time. So good to be here. Thank the Lord for you. It is cold out there with the wind blowing and everything. I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to turn to several places. But go to Psalm 118 and verse 24. That's only the beginning of what I want to say tonight. And I better make sure that I take this off and have it right over here. I can see it. But I'm thinking here of praise. The joy of praise. There are 2 things I believe that keep the Christian going. Prayer and praise. I want you to notice over there in Psalm 118, in verse 24 and verse 25. Verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice in it." Now let me say this to all of us. I remember when you were raising children, when you tell them to do something, you say, "You will do this." You expect them to do it. Amen? That's the same with God with us. It doesn't say, if you want to, praise the Lord. It says here, "This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad." We will rejoice and be glad. Then the next verse gives one of the reasons why. He said, "Save now." That's from the Hebrew word, which in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 90, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, they all cried, what? Hosanna. You know what that word means? Right here. Save now. Save now. So the very first thing I want you to know you can rejoice over is the fact that you're saved. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning. And when you have that, you begin to praise God. I want to give you 4 reasons this evening why you ought to praise God. And one of them is not that I made it here. There are four things, four passages I wanted you to take to dealing with praise. And I want you to go, first one is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. And I want you to notice as we turn to this reference here, I want you to notice there was a problem. There was a problem. And what God is going to instruct him to do is to praise your problem away. Praise your problem away. Look there, the problem here in verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, there cometh a great multitude that's against you. Now, that's the problem. They got a pretty serious problem. They're going to be invaded, and the enemy wants to destroy them. Now, you and I have three enemies, and not one of them is the human being. Huh? You have no enemies that are human, okay? They're not your problem, your enemies. One of them lives right in you, your flesh. How many have done anything wrong recently? Everybody ought to raise their hand. You know why? Because you have a sin nature that hates everything there is about God and is doing his job of taking our life over. So we recognize here the problem. Now notice the plan. The second enemy, by the way, is the world. And the third is the devil. Now, you know, the devil gets a lot of credit for things I don't think he does. I think it's our flesh that gets in the way. But I want you to notice here, not only do I see a problem here, but I see a plan. Jehoshaphat has a plan. And what his plans are found in three words, in verse 3 and in verse 5. Verse 3 is the first two words, and Jehoshaphat feared and set, the word set, himself. The second word is to seek. He set, he seek, or he sought. And then you go down to verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah. So here you find three words that was the plan by which he was going to defeat his enemies that had invaded Israel at the time. And what enemies you have invading your life, there's a plan. There's three of them. The word set means he made a decision. He set his mind that he would not be defeated. He said, we're not going to allow our country to be defeated. And so many of us live with a defeated life. It's defeated because the enemy's taken over. So we find here, he set. That means certainly he made a decision. I'm not going to let the enemy defeat me. And he's not going to let those enemies get after me and keep me. Notice the second word, the word seek. Or the word sought here. He made a determination. He said, I've set my mind not to be defeated, but I can't do it myself. So he sought the Lord. You know, seeking the Lord is not just something to get saved. Far beyond that. As a Christian, you need to seek the Lord regularly and daily at all times. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, says Isaiah 55. And so we see here the second word, to seek, means here to make a determination. He said, I not only here made a decision by the word set and the word seek, determination. And then notice here in verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. In other words, he made a difference. If we're not going to be defeated, I got to make a difference in my life. And there are some times when we need to say to ourselves, we're going to make a difference. Now, we have what we call New Year's resolutions. I don't think they're worth anything, because a lot of times we make them, and before long, we forgot it. I'm having a memory. I don't make resolutions anymore because I can't remember what I made. Hard for me to figure that one out. So we see here there was a problem. There was a plan. But I want you to notice something. There was a prayer. Notice here as you go down to verse 6. Now he was, and he said, O Lord God. So he is offering a prayer to God. And doing so, you'll find in verse 6 and in verse 7, he asks 4 questions. Now notice these questions, because look at the first one here. Art not thou the God in heaven? He's asking God. Now, God knows he is the God in heaven. But I believe that Jehoshaphat had forgotten how important God was in his life. I got an invasion. How are we going to get? We got a God in heaven. And so here he deals with the preeminence of God. He says there's all kinds of gods, but there's only one true God, the God of heaven. So we find here the second question. Not only art not thou God in heaven, that's God's preeminence. He said, of all the gods, there's only one in heaven. He rulest not thou over all the kingdoms? That deals with his providence. You realize if you turn the news on and you listen to it too long, you can get what? Discouraged. You know why? Because it looks like we got enemies here and enemies there, and people right now, they're rioting in different places. But I want you to know something. He's in control. The providence of God. God of heaven is in control. But notice not only his preeminence, art thou not the God in heaven, rules not over the kingdom in his problem. In thy hand there is not power. Obviously it deals with his power. Our God can take care of any issues in our life and will. Then notice the fourth question, and that one's found in verse 7. Art not thou our God? Look at verse 7. Art not thou our God? Underline the word our. God is a personal God. Our Father which art in heaven. You know that prayer? Our Father, our God. So he's personally interested in each one of us. And so that's the prayer with 4 questions he asks God. He says, God, art thou the God in heaven? Art thou over all the kingdoms? Art not thou have power to destroy them? Are you our God? Now go all the way to verse 19. So he calls everybody together. And then before we get to verse 19. How he's got the Levites and the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Kohathites stood up to what? Underline that. You have a problem, you have a plan. And then, thank the Lord, we have a God in heaven in his preeminence, the prayer. But now, he's going to show us how to defeat the enemy. How do you defeat your personal enemies? The flesh, the devil, the world. Verse 19 again. The Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Kohathites stood up to what? Praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice. Now, folks, I get a little Baptistical now and then. Is that okay? Because I believe we have a powerful God. And, you know, it's amazing. People can go to a ball game and stand like a bunch of wild Indians. Come to church and stand like a sit like a bunch of wooden Indians. No praise. No thanking the Lord for his goodness. So he said, let's just praise the Lord. I think sometimes we ought to just have a church service where we just praise the Lord. Just praise him. Amen? Then I go down here. He's got these enemies. That's the problem. He's got a plan. Those three words that I gave you a little while ago. And then his prayer, four questions. And then something happens here in verse 21 that blows my mind. I love it. And when they had consulted with the people, Jehoshaphat, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should what? Praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord for their mercy endureth forever. Now notice the word praise there. But notice verse 22. Because as they began to praise the Lord, look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, praise, the Lord set an ambushment against the children and Ammon and Moab. And then I found out, guess what happened in the next verse? Every man helped to destroy himself. In other words, he said, we're not going to bring the army out here, defeat our enemy. We're going to bring what? The singers. He put the singers before the soldiers. Now, humanly, that doesn't make much sense, does it? To the world, it would not make much sense. But to the Christian, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. You put the singers before the soldiers. The devil cannot be defeated if you're praising the Lord. He sang praises to the Lord, and guess what happened? The army destroyed itself. You see, because we find here, praise took place. I saw here the problem. I looked at the plan. I looked at the prayer. And noticed the praise. Praise all of a sudden changed their focus. Praise will change your focus. How many of you ever been discouraged beside John Stevens? Everyone ought to raise their hand. Praise will just defeat that enemy called discouragement. Another enemy is depression. During the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, and during this time, ever since Thanksgiving on, more people will commit suicide during those days than any other time of the year. Do you know that? My brother shot himself, killed himself on December 25th, 1957. I'm the one that found him. He didn't know the Lord. But it's a tragedy when some Christians act like they don't know the Lord. But we have a powerful God here. So that's the first one. And within the next 2 hours, I'll get them all done. No, it'll be a little shorter than that. But think with me here. He praise changed the focus of it. It also defeated their foes. They replaced fear with joy. That's the first thought. Go down to the second thought here. That's found in Psalm 51. That's the second passage I want you to turn to. Psalm 51. Or Psalm 42. I'll get it. What's wrong with me? Don't ask me what's wrong with me or say what's wrong with me. Look here at Psalm 42. It's written by someone who is defeated, who is discouraged. And I want you to, how do I know that? Well, thank you for asking me. Two things about this fellow who wrote this. Some think it was David. I don't know. David went through a lot. Two things he lost. Number one, he lost his fellowship with God. Look there, if you will, please, in those first three verses. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? It is a tragedy when we get to a state in our life where we don't know where God is. That we just lose. He lost fellowship with God. Then I come down to the next few verses and I find something else here. He lost his faith. When you lose your fellowship with God, the next thing that's going to go is your faith. Now, not that you're going to lose your salvation. But notice, if you will, here in verse 4. And when I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. In other words, he went to church. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. That's a good thing to do. Go with a voice of joy. Here's the problem. Look at verse 7, or verse 5. He says to himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Here's a fellow who went to church that didn't help him at all. He walked in there discouraged, depressed, and he walked away the same way. That's a tragedy. You know, church is a spiritual hospital. Amen? Huh? And it's a time where God wants to heal you. But you can't go to church and be healed without praising God. If you leave the same way that you come, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. He said, why are verse 5, three times. Verse 5, verse 6, and verse 11. He will repeat, 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 cast down. I'm cast down. He says, I've lost my faith. I've lost my fellowship with God. He lost it all. Think with me how he found his way back. Look with me quickly and closely there. Think with me as you will. Look at verse 5. Well, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet what? Praise him for the help of his countenance. He had got to praising God. I don't know. Many times in my life, I've been down. I'm confessing that to you. Been discouraged. And I remember that one of the times I got alone with God, I can't do it anymore. I used to walk a lot. I love walking. My legs won't let me anymore. And I would walk, and while I'd walk, I'd pray. And I remember the time when I was so down, so discouraged. Our church was going through a lawsuit by some wicked people in Charleston. And I said, but the Holy Spirit said to me, you just quit complaining and start praising me. You know what I told God? Did you ever tell God something? I said, I don't feel like praising you, God. The Spirit of God, as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, said to me, well, do it anyway. I began to praise God there on that walk. And God took over the problem when I began to praise God, because I changed my focus from the problem to the person who only can solve the problem. The Lord Jesus. So we see here, he changed some things in his life. He made his way back. He said here, the help of his countenance. And then not only this, go down with me there, if you will, please. In verse 5, he got the help of God, his countenance. Oh, help for the help of his countenance. But go down to verse 11. Why art thou cast down? Here he is again. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is. Who is the health of my countenance. I'm going to tell you that said, I can say his night. He got back to Costigo. The Spirit of God just took over his life there for because he not only had the help, he had a healing in his soul. And so we find the second time this person here learned to praise God. He praised his way out of this. He praised. Praise will not only conquer your foes, but praise will transform your feelings. A lot of times in my 54 years of pastorate, people would come to me for counseling. Sometimes the husband and wife, sometimes just the wife, sometimes whatever. And a lot of times in my counseling, I hear a word that will destroy y'all. They would say, but I don't feel I love him anymore. And everybody, if the moment you go on feelings, you're in trouble. Praise, well, praise is a supernatural act of God whereby he transforms your feelings into victory. And so we see in that text, I don't have time to deal with much more, but as you read it here, he certainly received an answer from God. He helped him, and he healed him, and he raised him up out of it. Praise does that. How many have had a problem with it this last year that you just took it on and it just got a hold of you? I don't necessarily raise your hand, but let me say this to you. You don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. God will take that away from us if we praise God, if we praise him. Praise is a supernatural working of God in the human soul whereby God gives a victory. So praise will not only conquer your foes, it will transform your feelings. But thirdly, notice if you will please, praise will communicate your faith. Turn with me to the New Testament, to the third one I want you to look at. And that's over in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Beginning at verse 25, we see here, it's an interesting story. Here is Paul and Silas. They're in prison. Now, I've never been in prison. I'm glad about that. How many know David Gibbs? David Gibbs, for years, would spend every Christmas in prison, not being there because he was incarcerated, because somebody else was there and he wanted to pray with a preacher. He spent his Christmas day there. I want you to notice something. God spends his Christmas day with you at all times. For I see here, I want you to notice something. Praise will communicate your faith. Now Paul and Silas were great Christians, weren't they? Yes. You know why they were great? Look here. Here is how they handled their problem. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, they're in where? They're in prison. Now, folks, we're not talking about prisons where they had color TVs and everybody's demanding their rights. This was a wicked place, cold, damp place. They'd lower him down into the prison, maritime prison. But notice what he did. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? Sang praises. Those two words, prayer. Now, by the way, prayer and praise are like twins. You can't have one without the other. They're absolutely important. We had a set of twins. My wife has two sets of twin sisters, and I love them. Thank the Lord for them. Twins are important here, prayer and praise. I want you to notice something. Praise will do three things here. Number one, it will witness the presence of God. It will witness that God's with us. See, the praise communicates your faith. Notice here, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and what? Prisoners heard them. Prisoner says, we've never heard anything like this before. This is new. We need to listen to what they're singing. I mean, it's midnight. It's cold and damp, and they got been whipped with whips on their back. What are they doing? No complaining. They're praising God. Praising God. It was a witness of God's presence because God was in their life. Praise will not only witness the presence of God, but praise will work a miracle in your life. I want you to notice something, verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. That was a miracle. I don't know if you've ever been. How many have ever been in an earthquake? There you go, with your hand up. I was in California for 26 years. We saw the sidewalks rule, the roads rule, because of the earthquakes. We've been there, my wife and I. But God wants to perform an earthquake in my life, in your life. He wants to shake us up. He wants us to realize that he's here in our lives, and we find that truth when we begin to pray. I don't know you. I have a place at home, and a little one of the rooms is my place to go in there. We have a den too, but and a living room. But this room, I want to be there all by myself. Not really, because God is there. Sometimes I'll get in that room and I'll raise my hands in prayer and praise because God is speaking to my heart. And he is doing something. How many of you get up in the morning, just can't wait to get out of bed and do what you need to do, and you're just on top of it? I mean, you are so excited. Maybe I'm the exception. Not me. Not me. I'd rather not get up in the morning. I'd rather just sleep in. But I find when I get up and go to that room, begin to praise God, all of a sudden, I really get wide awake. God shakes me, wakes me up in my soul, in my spirit, and converses with me. Not only do I see here the presence of God, they saw something, the miracles of God. But notice what praise will do here. Look there, if you will, please, at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison's doors open, he drew his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now look at that for a moment. Think about it. This prisoner, this guard had been sound asleep. And all of a sudden, he's awakened. Three times in the New Testament, God reminds us, is trying to wake us up. Three times. You know that? Turn with them real quick, or mark them down. The first one was in Romans chapter 13. Paul says in Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. Now, he wasn't here referring to physical sleep, but spiritual sleep. Here we find that they needed to wake. God saying, wake up to the nearness of our Lord's coming. Look there. Know by the time that is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. By the way, isn't that true? The word salvation there refers to the Lord's coming. And he's going to get us away from this old earth. Isn't that great? He's coming. So the first time I find that in Romans chapter 13, here to wake to the nearness of our Lord's coming. It is a tragedy when too many people are sound asleep about the Lord's coming. They could care if it came or not. What a tragedy. God would like to awaken us. And when we begin to praise God, he awakens us to that truth. The second time you find it is over there in 1 Corinthians. Turn there to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 34. Great verse. Not are you to awake to the nearness of his coming, but you are to awake to the nature of sin. Look at the verse. But be not deceived. Verse 34. And awake to righteous and what? Sin not. You know so many of God's people are sound asleep when it comes to what is right and wrong. They don't care if it's right or wrong. They don't care. We're going to do it anyway. God says awake to the nature of sin. You've got sin in your life. There are many of God's people who have sin in their life and they act like it's not there. That's a tragedy. No wonder you're not praising God, but praise will wake you up, awaken you to that, to the nature of sin. Third one is over there in the book of Ephesians. And turn there, if you will, please. To the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Are you not only awake to the nearness of his coming, to the nature of sin, but the need of a personal relationship with Christ? Look there in verse 14 of chapter 5. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, I don't know about you, one of the things I don't like about this time of year is I hate darkness. I mean, you get up, it's dark, you go to bed, it's dark. I always love the spring and the summer. Just get rid of all this darkness. But there are a lot of darkness in a lot of Christians' lives. And they've gotten used to the darkness. I remember years ago in California, there was a restaurant called the Black Angus. The building was black on the outside. Some of the best steaks you'd ever want to eat would be there. Pretty good price, pretty reasonable price. But I remember when I walked in there one time, first time and only time, I had to stand still to get used to what? The darkness. As I'd been out in the bright sunlight, now I had to get used to the darkness. And when I got used to the darkness, I didn't care for the light. Don't get used to the darkness of your life. You need Christ. So we see the need. We see the nature of what it will do for you and to me and the nearness of his coming. So we see here, we need to do that. Now, the fourth time, the first time we find praise will conquer your foes. I mean, God just wiped out the whole army. I remember one time I had one of my men in my church, my first church I pastored in California, and he was on the out with me. And he said some things about me that weren't right. And he came to see me. And he said, "Preacher, I want to ask your forgiveness for the things I've said about you to other people. I know you've heard about them." I said, "No, I have not heard about them. And I'm not interested in hearing about them now. I don't want to get used to the darkness of your life." And so we see here, praise will conquer your foes. It will transfer your feelings from failure to faith. It will communicate your faith, even as it happened with Paul. The final one, it will correct your problems. It will correct them. How many of you have seen something so dark and dim and so problem in your life, and when God revealed it, and all of a sudden you got a change of attitude? Say, "God, it's not as bad as I thought it was." That deals with the final one. Go to Philippians 4. Go to Philippians 4. Now, Philippians 4 here, praise will correct your problems. If you look there in the fourth chapter, in verse 1, 2, and 3, you will find the church has some disunity. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, dearly my beloved. I beseech Euodicus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Was probably there were some folks that didn't get along. And I find when people don't get along in the church, guess what happens? It affects the whole church. Did you ever notice that? It will do that. And so we find over here the problem. There's the division. Now here is what is the answer to the problem of these two not getting along. Look down there in verse 4. Don't miss this. After he brings out the problem, look at verse 4. What's he say? "Rejoice in the Lord." Oh, again, I say rejoice. Here's the solutions to people who don't get along. Start rejoicing in the Lord. That'll change your focus upon the people you're having problem with. It will correct the problem. I will forget when somebody took the church after I had left it. We had built it up to 625 to 650 drive-in in there in Charleston. Had a great ministry. God blessed us. And I'll tell you, when he got through with it, it was down to just, today it's about 100. And it was easy for me to say, "God, chasing that guy, get him out of whatever it takes." That's not my job to do that. And I asked God to forgive me, begin to pray, and for a year or two I prayed daily for that man. My whole attitude about him changed. Begin to praise God for him. I was talking to somebody not too long ago. He said, "Did you remember so and so?" I said, yeah. I said, "He's doing all right, I think." He said, "Does he really feel that way after we're in the church?" I said, "Look, it's not my problem. It's my God." But you know, the solution to the problem is to praise God, for God's in charge. Notice here, if you will, please, a thought here. Look with me. After he, notice that phrase, verse 6. Be careful. After verse 5, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, what's that mean? The Lord is right in the midst of everything that happens. Everything. He's right in the middle of it. And then he says in verse 6, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Wow. Now what's he saying? Let's look at verse 6 again. Let me just give you three thoughts here. He was saying, worry about nothing, pray about everything, and be thankful for all things. That's our assignment. And you do that, you'll praise God. When you worry about nothing, when you pray about everything, it won't be long before you're thankful, even for those who hurt you. You'll be thankful because God is in charge, and God brought them into your life. So as we close our service tonight, think with me again. Go back to that 118th Psalm. And look at that one with me for just a moment. Again, verse 23 or verse 24 and 25. Psalm 118. This is what? The day which the Lord has made. God made the day. God made this day. Therefore, since God made it, praise God. Praise God, because God never makes a mistake. All the things that come into your life today, God arranged. God allowed it. Look at it. This is the day which the Lord made. We will. I remember my mama raised three boys all by herself. And my mama raised them on two things. Fell's nap the soap. That wasn't to take a bath, that was to wash my mouth out with soap. And a stick. And mom would say, this is gonna kill me, hurt me. I'm thinking, not you, honey. It's gonna hurt me. But I thank God today. What God brought into my life, that mother. Well, I'm the only one, as far as I know, got saved in my family. I got a brother I'm praying to get saved. Mama went out into eternity. I'm not sure. I worked for my dad. I want him to see my faith. I want to see it through praise. I want to see the power of God. And I'm still praying daily for him to be saved. How many have people here that are in your family that aren't saved? Raise your hand. Just raise it up. You know they're not saved. God can save them, but you better learn. God, praise God for the opportunities God gives you. And he says, verse 25, save now. I tell my brother who lives in Ohio, Roy, I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. I remember the first time that I prayed, I met my brother and talked to him after I got saved. Now, my brother didn't care for me. I was a rascal as a young person. I know it's hard for you all to believe that I would have been a rascal. I was in a lot of trouble and so forth. But when I got saved, I wanted to win him to Christ. I'm still working on it. My father, he made a profession, but I don't know how real it was. Pray for your family. But show it through praise as well as prayer that you have a God in heaven that can change them. Let's stand for a moment. We're going to just think about it for a moment. Just let God deal with your heart right now. Are you known as a person that people look at and said, boy, he just really is a Christian who praises God. He's given God all the glory. I mean, he's excited about his faith or her faith. Or they look at you and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want they have no joy. I'm happier than they are, and I'm not a Christian. There's a commercial on television that irritates me to no end. It's about gold. You know, people are hoarding gold today. And as you look at that advertisement, one of the fellows says, he got his gold, he says, I'm happy. I'm happy. Gold cannot make you happy. God can. Praise can make you rejoice in the Lord. If you're one here with our heads bowed for just a moment, let God speak to our hearts. Are you a complainer? Are you praising God? Are you saying, Lord, thank you for all you've done in my life. Thank you for the problems you give me. Thank you, Lord. I need those problems. I praise you today. But if you cannot, if you're not rejoicing in the Lord, I just leave your seat where you are while the instruments play and just come down here and find a place at the altar or get on your knees where you are and say, Lord, my life isn't right with you. All I do is complain, but I need to get things right. As our pianist or organist plays, whoever will, yes, they're both ready. Go ahead and just let them not sing a song, but we'll just do it silently. You need to come and find a place. You need to where you are. Just sit where you are. Say, oh God, things are not right in my life. Praise your way will conquer your foes. It will transform your feelings. Praise will do these things. Praise will communicate your faith, and it will correct problems. All right. Thank you for coming tonight. I was late tonight, but I'm never going to be late for the rapture. I've often said there's some people, when I pastored, I thought that some of those people were probably going to be late for the rapture. They could now, but thank God we won't be. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for praise. Thank you for prayer to make a difference in our life. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his goodness. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Good to see you all again. Y'all look older.